to God. So today, after having finished the series on achieving an alien mentality, we're going to begin a new series. And we want to talk about our identity. And I struggled with the title of this, and thank God it had to worry about. So I have our supreme identity. That's what I have as a title. I was struggling with preeminent identity, our number one identity, whatever word you want to put down. I think I chose supreme. Supreme means ultimate, your greatest identity, your number one, before all else, your superior identity. We want to work on that. And I'd like Sister Rolanda to pray that we would get our minds renewed concerning this. So the first thing I have here, and by way of question, is who are we supremely, first and foremost? Who are we? And what is, who are we? And then what is our supreme preeminent identity? Before we talk about that, let's talk about what is it, our supreme identity. Now, that's our identity, but not our supreme preeminent our identity. So first and foremost, our supreme preeminent identity, first and foremost, is not our ethnicity, our culture, our color. You know what else is it? Our looks and our age. All of those are part of our identity, but not our supreme identity. Not our ethnicity, our culture, our color, we can add to it our socioeconomic standing, our age, or our looks. They are part of our identity, but not our supreme identity. All too often, the people of God still allow these things, ethnicity, culture, color, looks, identity, socioeconomic standing, identify us supremely. And you know, I hope that when you hear this, you're like, you know what? I don't want my identity to be tied to something that limits me. Not now that I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't want that. We do a lot with looks. We talk a lot about looks. You know, you got good hair versus bad hair. You got beautiful and pretty and ugly and unattractive. We got all these human titles to describe the creation of God. A person who's made an image and likeness of God. Beauty. The temptations had it wrong. Beauty is only skin deep, said the temptations. That's very incorrect. Pretty is skin deep. Because pretty is external. Has nothing to do with the internal core of a person. That's when beauty is on the inside. Beauty is intrinsic. Beauty is internal. That's why the Word of God, when it talks about that, you don't really, I can't remember how many, very few scriptures, if any, that talk about something being pretty. It said, worship God in the beauty of holiness. It talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, the gospel. Yeah. Beauty is internal. We need to get up off of that anyway. I'm going to steal Dr. Albert Mohler's concepts, I guess, concerning beautiful. Because he ties them together. beautiful, true, and good. Those are all interchangeable. Anything that's good is beautiful. I'm talking about biblically speaking. I'm not talking about the world. Biblically, everything that's good is not God good, and isn't he beautiful?
Amen.
It's not God true, which makes it good. And the good makes it beautiful. You can interchange those three. The good, the beautiful, and the true. I like that. That keeps it into the realm of scripture. Because what somebody says is good, if it's not lined up with the word of God, guess what? It ain't good. As I'm mentoring the young pastor, letting him know, realize that every good idea is not necessarily a God idea.
Yeah.
If it's not a God idea, then guess what? It's not a good idea.
Amen.
Because only God is good. Amen. Remember when the centurion came up to Jesus, he said, good master, what must I do to be saved, to inherit eternal life? Jesus didn't let nothing slide. He could have just said, oh, well, do this, do that. But he checked him. He said, man, why are you calling me good? He didn't even let that word even go. Why are you calling me good? There's no one good but God. Are you saying I'm God? What are you saying here? Remember, he said, there's no one good but God. Think about that. There's no one good but God. Listen to what I'm saying. So if it's good, it's God. Because every good gift comes from a good God.
Amen.
God is good. Now, we done took that and made it into some watered down t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But God really is good.
Amen.
Beauty, goodness, and truth is a whole different level from pretty. I want us to start seeing us, people of God, as people of God first and foremost, rather than like everybody else in the world. He tall, he's short, he's quote unquote good looking, she ain't, he is, he not. I want to renew our minds. Our preeminent identity, our first place identity, it's not our ethnicity, it's not our culture, it's not our color, it's not our looks, it's not our age. It's another thing. God really don't care none about age in a sense about using people, you got them as young as teenagers. I've told you all, but it's still shocking. Mary was around 15, 16 years old. Joseph about 17, 16, 17. And that's who God chose to bring forth the Savior into the world, with teenagers.
Yep.
Young teenagers. Daniel and Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah coming on to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their ungodly name. Their Christian, their godly names was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Yep.
They were all teenagers taking a stand for God. To the point you can burn us up. But we will not bow to your small case G-O-D.
Amen.
All the teenagers. Or John the Revelator, he's in his 90s when he's banished to the Isle of Patmos. And there God only spoke to him and wrote the book of Revelation at 90 years old. You are not your age. You are not your color. And as, what's her name? I'm not my hair. Who is that? What's her name, Ro? Yeah, NDRE, I think. I'm not my hair. Or lack of it, as mine is getting thin up there. Thank God. We're spiritual beings, first and foremost. We're not limited to this stuff. Thank God. It's decaying. It's leaving. It's wrinkling. It gets sick, it gets old, it gets saggy. Mm-hmm. I looked in the mirror this morning and said, oh Lord, I gotta start working out again. Look at this, you can't tell, I can hide it well. You can't tell, but I look like a good 3 or 4 months pregnant, you know. I'm like, oh Lord, maybe men can have babies, I don't know. Oh Lord, I'm looking real bad. I can hide it good, I can wear a little something here, but. It ain't pretty. Listen, ethnicity, culture, looks, age, color, all refer to our physical, natural, external selves. If you caught that, as the Lord was, he and I working on this here yesterday, that was a revelation to me. That's why you're not that, because first and foremost, you are a spiritual being. Oh boy, Lord God, help us get that. That's why preeminently you are a child of God. Yes. First and foremost. Because yeah. All of the color, culture, ethnicity, your age, your looks, all refer to an external decaying body. Yeah. It's going to be gone in the ground one day. But the real you, the spirit you, you're going to ascend to the heights. Amen. And what a glorious day that will be. Amen. Lord, free us, free our mind today. Free our minds today. All that refers to our physical, natural, external selves does not refer to the real you, the spirit you. Your spirit is living in this house that's red, brown, yellow, black, or white, that has certain looks, that is a certain age, that is a certain color, and that it belongs to a certain culture and a certain ethnicity and people group. Just your external house. We won't shed this house. And then when we gather back up with this house in a glorified body state, ain't nobody going to care about nobody's color, beauty, and all that. Because everybody's going to be beautiful. Beautiful, for real. Mm-hmm. Billions praising God forevermore are going to be beautiful. Yeah. External selves. Now, we need to be taught this because we need to be taught this because we've been so drilled by the world that the external is who you are. You get special privileges if you're a certain color, special privileges if you're certain beauty, pretty. You know, you get lighter skin, darker skin. You know, that's because that's the world we look at all at the external. Certain kind of smart versus. So folks are treated all discriminated against all ways. And we kind of join in when we just see each other externally. Yeah. Or even count ourselves even that way, first and third. We just join in all the other mass of mess. Yeah. Remember, the God of this world is running this system, so you know you don't want nothing to do with that. No. Color, ethnicity. Culture, smarts, not smarts, so to call, looks versus no looks, all of those things, we just join right in as if we are mere unchanged people. We still act, and I can understand why, but that doesn't mean we need to continue, but we still act as though we're our color or ethnicity first. Our looks first, or age first, whatever it is, we still look at that first. And I understand that that's a challenge, but we need to change that mindset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the danger of it is that I think, I can't say for sure because I know I can't read your heart. So the next statement is going to be a bit harsh, but if the shoe fits, tie it up and wear it. If it doesn't, leave it alone on the side of the road. But I think some of us maybe think that it's no big deal whether we do not see ourselves spiritually first and identify spiritually first. They think, oh, maybe this, I think that's just a Pastor Harris thing. You know, I don't know about it. True, I can't show you in the word where it says, thou shalt not look at thyself as being red, brown, yellow, black, or white first, and then thou shalt see thyself as a child of God. There's not a verse that just clearly says that. But I'm going to show you in Scripture the dangers of not realizing that you are first a spirit being and should identify yourself spiritually first, and if you don't, the dangers behind that. Because when you first hear something like this, you should identify yourself as a Christian first, or as a child of God first, instead of as a black person, brown person, white person. You hear that, you know, you think, okay, you know, if you first hear this new, you're like, okay, well, what do I do with that? That question is okay, but I think the danger is when we think it's no big deal, when we don't do it. That's the danger. And that's what I want to get across the Word of Life today, myself and Word of Life. That I want to get rid of the no big deals. Well, ain't no big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. I don't know, but I wonder if some of us here believe that this is just an option. It's optional. You can or you can't. You know, do it if you want to. Not, no biggie. It's not optional. Thinking of yourself first as your color or ethnicity is absolutely enslaving. It's bondage. That's what I want to show you today. It's enslaving. It's bondage. It's imprisoning. I'm a living witness. The Lord has set me so free, but then I've had years to just meditate on this, and years. I tell you, it's cheating to be a pastor. It really, really is. Because if you're a real legitimate pastor, you're in that word, and you meditate these things over and over. But I need to be that leader. I need to be ahead of the curve because I should know more than you. Yes, sir. That's my responsibility. I better know more than you. My mother said, when the Lord was transitioning her out of a world of sin and darkness into a mind of light, my mother went to church. And as the Lord began to transfer her into the truth, the Lord just opened her eyes. She said, you know, these dudes don't know more than I do. They don't know nothing. Why should I keep listening to them? She might have had a few choice words in there. I'm not sure, but, you know, my mom's different. Yeah, did you have a few choice words? And it's like, move on. Don't say that about that. Mother might have had a few choice words. And I ain't going up in there because mother will let you know. Hey, you know what? See, mother came up hard because of the fact that her father died when she was 9 and her mother was dead by 18. My mother was 18 years old without a mother or father. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do what you got to do to make ends meet. You know, you're going to get a hard shell on, you're going to do things, you're going to protect yourself. So when she saw, by the grace of God, that these pastors didn't know any more than her, she said, why even deal with that? Yeah. And that's a that's a fair assessment. Mm-hmm. One of the things that this young man here, fellas, thank me, said, man, thank you for studying. Because you should know more than us. Mm-hmm. I better. Right? Nathan, like, well, you know what? Why should I come and listen to you? I can tell you what's going on. That ain't right. Nope. Because I said I know more about that. Hey, man, sit down. Let me come up and teach you. Because, see, I was out of order. I was a knucklehead, youngest, so we already established that. This was pre-Holy Ghost, okay. So, I told you I wasn't born a pastor. I've been trying to tell y'all that. So I'm in school. I'm at Eastern. We're in this class. I studied on Garvey, Mark's Garvey. So I knew some things about Garvey. And so the professor was talking about Garvey. I'm up here arguing with the professor. I said, that ain't right. Nope, that's not what happened. He said, man, he stopped in the middle. But see, I should have gave him some respect and courtesy. Sorry, Miss April, I was not always saved, you know. So. But I should have just gave him courtesy, came to him after class, but I'm all that, because I'm mad. Just kind of mad at the world kind of thing, you know. So I'm like, that ain't right. Nope. So the professor had enough. So he stopped his lecture and said, hey, man, why you always rebutting me? What is going on? I said, because you ain't right. That is what Garvey did. Garvey did this. It was the name of the ship was that. Because he eventually went on a ship to try and get people to come on, and he duped them and everything. And so we had a talk in his office afterward. That was out of order. But the point I'm making is that when you stand before the people of God, you better do your due diligence. And you should know the growth should be obvious. And I should tell you, yes, the Lord has transitioned me in a mighty way, you know, like, I don't know, like we're trying to get to 100% transition. You know, I'm past 50% of thinking myself as a Christian first. But when the beginning of that happened might have been maybe 10 years ago, maybe one time for you all to hear that yet. But we have been talking about this probably for the last 5 or 6, 7 years with more intensity the last couple of years and even then the more the last few months. Because God wants us to get this. Don't view yourself as the world views themselves. You're my child. You belong to me. And that's one thing I called Texas April at the last minute and asked her to change the song to I am who you say I am. Not who the world says that or even who I think I am. I am who you say I am. Did you catch that? You are not even who you say you are about yourself. You are who God says you are. And we want who we think about ourselves aligning with God first and foremost. It truly makes a difference. It is necessary that we transition our thinking. It's not an option. It's necessary. This is not a Pastor Harris idea that he just came up with. It's absolutely necessary. And it will free you. Some of that freedom that Jesus promised, whom the Son of Man sets free, is free indeed. You'll be able to experience more of that freedom, that liberty.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because we're free in Christ Jesus. Let's experience that freedom. Then we can truly say, even more so than what Dr. King was talking about, because of Jesus Christ, we're free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Hallelujah. And that's not a dream. This is reality. Whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Indeed means for real. Show not free. Free in reality. This is not a dream. Do you realize in the mighty word of God that ethnicity and color and all of that is rarely mentioned, if at all? Why? Has no place. God doesn't care what color you are. God has used people for his kingdom from every spectrum of the rainbow, if you will. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Male and female. Boy and girl, as well as old folks, he used them all. John the Baptist leaped in the womb when Mary came into the world. The Word of God even talks about the life inside of the womb of a baby that's 6 months old, in the womb, that is. We need to not make a big deal about ethnicity. The world has, and I understand that, the world has, but it sucked us into it. I understand this. And bring out good points. You know, we live in an America that is slanted against you. I'm not ignoring that. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, here I hear my notes. I got it somewhere in here that, you know, this is not to disregard color or ethnicity. Never that, because God made the colors. Yes. The colors came from God.
Amen.
And then God does is good. So it's good you're black. It's good you're white. Scripture red, brown, and yellow. It's good because God made everything God does is good. It's not about being colorblind. To be colorblind and say, well, I don't see color, is then to not acknowledge that which God has created. It's not about not seeing color. It's about seeing the color and then realizing we can still get along. It's not about not acknowledging the color. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's about seeing that color. Say, you know what? You my brother. You my sister in Christ. And all the ones that's spitting hatred at me, and even though the system is slandered against black folk, and it is. There's no lie about that. But I still choose to love over hate because then they become my enemy. Then what did Jesus say about my enemy? I don't have no enemy. They my enemy. Well, what did Jesus say?
Oh, man.
He said to love your enemy. Oh, gone it. Man, you don't have an out. We don't have an out. We just don't. As a Christian, we don't have an out. He not only said love, but he said love your enemies, pray for them, do good to them, feed them. I ain't gonna feed them. See what they did to me. I ain't feeding nobody. What are you doing to disobeying God? The Lord said that. I didn't write this. Because if a human being would have never wrote love your enemies, we'd have been just like the Pharisees. Love those who love you. I can get down like that. But not the body who hate me. Well, hate those. Jesus said, no, I said to you, love you your enemies. That you may seen and prove to be children of your Father, which is in heaven. Because that's how we roll. That's what Jesus is saying. He tells us in the book of Romans, overcome evil with good. You got to get your mind right. We got to get our minds right. This is sensitive. I understand that. That's what I'm just taking our time. Let it breathe, marinate. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. All I do is teach it, but he's got to put it into your heart, flesh and tables of your heart. And I pray that you marinate it and let it marinate and marinate like your pastor's done for years. This didn't come overnight. It's not an overnight thing. You taught all your life that color, your externals is everything. You're treated according to your externals. The world is ordered according to your externals. And here comes the Lord talking about, don't pay attention to that. Not necessarily pay attention to it, but let that not have the preeminence. Yeah, that's a transition that's happening there. The Holy Ghost got to come in and do that thing.
Amen.
Good news, though, it can be done. I'm a living witness.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm nobody special. What he's done for others, he will do for you.
Amen.
And that's good news.
Yes,
and when I tell you that it's freeing, I'm living that.
Yes, I am.
Ethnicity and culture are rarely mentioned. And it's mentioned for a point, not to promote one over the other. You may hear that Philip passed by and there was an Ethiopian reading the word of God. He's an African reading the word. Moses' wife, I think, was Ethiopian. They'll mention little things like that. You got the Jewish culture, but the bottom line is, the word of God focuses on two groups. I said the word of God, not the world, but the word of God. We want to line up thinking of the word, focuses on two groups. Either you're a saint or a sinner. Either saved or unsaved. You're either godly or ungodly. You're either good or wicked. Either a sheep or a goat. You're either sitting at the right hand or on the left hand. Those are all the delineations that the Bible talks about.
Amen.
People of God, children of Satan, those who are in heaven, those who are in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's all through scripture from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Color and ethnicity, not so much. Lord God, help us to line up our thinking with yours. Thank you for Holy Spirit helping us to transition. Thank you that there is renovation of our minds going on, a renewing is happening right now by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you think about those two groups, those are a spiritual delineation, right? All those are spiritual. Saint, sinner, heaven, hell, all those deal with spiritual, not the natural. Because in the long run, we are divided not according to our natural, our ethnicity and culture. In the long run, biblically speaking, eternally speaking, it's going to be because either you know God or you don't.
Amen.
And it's going to be multiple ethnicities in heaven and multiple ethnicities in hell.
Yes, sir.
Look at Galatians chapter 3. So where is all this in scripture? I don't know about you, dude. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Mm-hmm. Galatians 3 and 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. So that would be our ethnicity. Black or white, red, brown, and yellow. Neither slave nor free, meaning so your social and economic standing. There's neither male nor female. He said even your gender in Christ Jesus doesn't matter. For you are all one. But look at this. In Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Spiritually speaking, you are all one. Now, that doesn't mean that who you are physically, externally, humanly speaking, disappears. He's not saying that because you are still a black Christian, a white Christian, a red Christian, a brown Christian. But he's saying, though, however, in Christ Jesus, our focus needs to be as that of God, that we're all one in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? That's a mindset that we must transition to. In Christ Jesus, we all are one. Because you know, in the Word of God, there was much racism and discrimination and bigotry in the Word of God in a terrible way.
Yes.
Peter spoke out of the way concerning the Jews, and Apostle Paul barbecued him verbally concerning that. Like, dude, you don't do that. That's why we can't get caught in the quote-unquote racial, ethnic group, people group melee. Spitting hatred, vitriol, bitterness. And those of us who have it, Father God, black toward white, black toward Arab, white toward anybody, everybody toward everybody else, we ask you just remove it in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes.
Because we got issues.
Yes.
We got issues, Father God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. We got issues. And they rise up. They rise up.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Not denying that. Here's my little personal thing. You know, I'm hoping that they're able to save that grocery store over in Money, Mississippi. That's where Bryant Grocery Store was, the grocery store where Emmett Till supposedly spoke to Carolyn Bryant. Whistled at her, some say bye, baby. Whatever it was, that was a grocery store, and it's crumbling. Nothing but the sides are there. So I'm a historian, you know. I always say we need to face the ugly.
Yes, yes.
That's been a problem, particularly in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the teaching on the toxic sin of racial hatred began the way it did, which we just talked about history. All the ugly. And even then, it was light on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Need to face it. Don't let it run away. We need to face it. That's not facing your problems,
not facing that which enslaves you or disturbs you or causes you to feel some type of way. Not facing that is what destroys marriages and relationships because you don't face it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
You got to talk about it. You got to talk about it. I'm like, Lord, lead it. Put that grocery store together. Put somebody get on there and get their grocery. That's just my personal thing. What was done in Emmett Till was horrible. But you don't want to sweep it under the rug.
Amen.
When you hear these things, our blood begins to boil. And that's okay. We're going to get ahead in the message. That's okay. But we want to get that together. Galatians 3:28 again. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. I'm going to add, there's neither old or young, neither pretty or ugly. There's none of that in Christ Jesus. Why? Because everything is spiritual.
Amen.
We're all one. But look at the last phrase, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's what I want you to focus on. In Christ Jesus. Not denying your blackness, not denying your whiteness, not denying your yellow, blue, black, and all of this. He's just telling you to focus who you really are, spiritually speaking, in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm one with the white guy I can't stand. I'm one with the utter I can't stand. I'm one with the women, the feminists, and one with the man that she can't stand. We're one. And that's why people in Christ Jesus, Christians, real Christians of God, should be leading this quote unquote racial situation in love, but we're not leading it, not like we should. You got some, but we're not leading it like we should.
Amen.
And one of the reasons is because we're not facing it. You still get comments, man, you got to talk about slavery. Why we got to talk? Because, brother, that's where everything began. You got to keep talking about it. And not just to talk about it to bring about reconciliation. Because among children of God, there's a chance for real reconciliation. Why? Because we have the love of God in us.
Amen.
The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So there's real hope amongst God's people.
Amen.
The world, a whole different story. But God's people, we have the potential. We have the ability. We have the capability to love anyway. Because we got God's love. And we know we need help on that. We're one in Christ Jesus. We're not our color. We're not our ethnicity. Not first and foremost. That's why we should not let how the world views us. Listen to this. This is why we should not let how the world views us, how the world treats us, how the world responds to us influence how we view ourselves.
Amen.
I want to say that again. That's why we should not let how the world views us, how they treat us, how they respond to us influence how we view ourselves.
Amen.
Now that's a deep statement. That's a deep statement. Especially a black person in America. That's a deep statement because how the world views us has everything to do with our external. What the Lord is telling us, but don't let that push into how I want you to view yourself. That's what God is telling us. I understand you struggle with it. Struggle is real. But he said, don't let that push into and push out how I want you to view yourself. I, the Lord. So don't let them influence that. How does that look? I don't know, because it's going to be different from every single person. Father God, I pray for each and every one in here that however way we accomplish not letting how the world views us influence how we view ourselves. However way that looks, I thank you for individually working on us. For the Lord is my shepherd. You are an individual shepherd. You work individually with each and every one of us. And whatever way that needs to happen, make it happen, Father God. In the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus, let everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It can be done. There's a freedom. There's a freedom. One of the civil rights psalms. I've been a slave, so I'm not sure. Over my head, there's freedom in the air. That's what it is. There's freedom in the air. It's coming your way. Repeating again, that's not to say that color, ethnicity, culture has no value. That's not to say that. Because after all, God gave color, ethnicity, and culture.
Amen.
It has value. But keep its value in its proper place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we need to do. Keep the value in its proper place. Don't let it leak all out and start having the preeminence where that's all you think yourself of as just your ethnicity, your color, and your culture. Keep it in its place. I'm black. God made me black. I love black culture. It's okay for me to say that. Person who's white, loves white culture. Cool. Other Asian, African, God made all those cultures. Embrace them.
Amen.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Amen.
He just said, keep it in perspective. Sure, it has value because everything God does has value. Everything God does is good. It's a good thing that there's ethnicity, that there's colors, that there's culture. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Everything that God does is good.
Yes.
It is important. As we said earlier, our goal is not to become colorblind, but to see color and embrace it and love on them. And in so doing, what are we doing? We're showing the love of God that surpasses ethnicity, color, culture.
Amen.
Amen.
It overcomes evil with good. Not to be colorblind. It's not the issue. Thank you, Lord. We're not trying to be colorblind. We see all the colors. We see the red, the brown, the yellow, the black, and the white. We see it all clearly. And we embrace it because this is your creation. We love accordingly. Through and with and by and because of the love, your love that's been shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
That's the love which we love all the colors.
Amen.
All the ethnicities and cultures. In Jesus' name. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. What do you mean by that? To love those who only love you.
Amen.
You do good by me, I do good by you. You do wrong by me, you ain't got nothing coming. Jesus said, but I say unto you, you belong to a child of God, you to love your enemies. Treat those who mistreat you. So that's what is not to be our supreme identity. Now notice, let's hear that again. We didn't say no identity. Yes, your ethnicity, your culture, heritage, your color, your age, all those are your identity, but don't let it be your supreme identity because all those identifying characteristics are or relate to your physical, natural, external self. Therefore, that should not be our supreme identity. So then what is to be our supreme identity? Spiritually speaking, what is to be? And in the short time we have left, we'll start that. Look at Acts chapter 27. Now we talked about, most of the time has been spent on what isn't to be our supreme identity, but what is? Look at Acts chapter 27. Verse 21. Acts chapter 27. Verse 21. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. When he had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. In other words, nobody's going to die, but the ship is going to be destroyed. Verse 23. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. Isn't that something? Paul is speaking to this group that did not obey him, did not listen to him, and so they're in a perilous state, in a dangerous state, to the point that there could be loss of life, to the point they had to say, you know what, we're all going to make it, but the ship won't. So that lets you know they're in a real high emotional, dangerous, perilous situation right now. Paul takes the time to identify himself as one who served God and one who belongs to God. Did you catch that? Isn't that something? That his identity wasn't, well, I, Paul, who has all these degrees and who's a smart guy and I'm a Jew of the Jews and all. Nope. He identifies himself as one who belongs to God and whom he serves. In the midst of this, like, terrible situation where life could be lost, he still takes the time to identify himself as one who is really a slave of God.
Amen.
That's profound.
Amen. Amen.
That's profound. You could die. He got to tell him, you're not going to die because the angel of the Lord said you ain't going to die. Other than that, they said, well, we're going to die. Because this is a perilous situation. Verse 24 saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Tell them that's why we're going to live. But I belong to God and I serve him. He's my master. Isn't that something? And I've said it before. You have a black pastor telling a predominantly black church that the way you ought to identify yourself is a slave of God. I didn't write it. Either I got to have the courage to say that or I need to go sit down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Think of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The very next chapter over. Romans 1 and 1. And that's something. We went through this before. We taught on this some years ago. Verse 1. Paul, comma, a highly degreed
sir.
Doctor of theology and a Jew who get great propers. I had 2 degrees by the time I was 18. And I'm the smartest guy ever known.
Servant.
He has... Some say bond servants. Too bad that King James and ESV and NASB, all of them, excuse me, honked out. That word is doulos, and it means slave. But because of the connotation that slavery carried with it, they wimped out and chose not to put that word in there. And so they substituted words like servant or bond servant. The word is doulos. There's 6 other Greek words for servant. Doulos is not one of them. So thank God for a studying pastor who's going to tell the truth. That word is slave. He identifies himself first as a slave before anything else. The great apostle Paul. Arguably the most righteous man of the Lord Jesus, arguably.
If anybody could have stuck their spiritual chest out, it would have been Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Yeah. That was a bad mama slammer. He was something else.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord took him up into the third heaven and showed him some things. Talk about a vision? That was a visitation. He said, I won't know if I was in the body, out of the body. I can't tell when I was, my spirit was here, my body was there. I don't know what was going on. It was so dynamic, so beyond. And he refers to himself first as a slave, then called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. His first identity was a slave.
Amen.
That's humility. That's humility. We're just getting started. We'll pick up next time. Father God, thank you for this teaching. I know what it's going to do for your people because it's being done for me. It mitigates anger. It keeps my emotions in check when highly charged situations happen, especially that relate to my blackness. It keeps me under control by your grace and mercy. And even in the midst of a highly charged situation, I'm still able to hear you by your grace and mercy. Why? Because when the Son of Man sets free, it's free indeed. And this is part of that freeing process. Having proper identification. Father God, we are who you say we are first and foremost.
Amen.
Because in Christ Jesus, we're no longer black or white. Red, brown, or yellow. We're no longer Jew or Greek. We're no longer male or female. We're no longer rich or poor. Quote unquote, ugly or pretty, old or young, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. One in name, aim, purpose, thought, and direction.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And Father God, I thank you that that's our mindset, that that's our renewal of our mind. Help us to get there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.